All right, welcome to the LeMoyneDolphins.com podcast. I'm Kevin McNeil, and today I'm very pleased to be joined by Neil Oshie, class of 1987, soon to be Hall of Fame class of 2018, as we host our Gold Wave Hall of Fame ceremony Saturday morning. Neil, welcome back to the Heights, you and your family, Leslie, your two boys. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame induction, you know, first of all, and thanks for the time to sit down. You know, you're about to jump into our annual golf tournament, but we're happy that you took a few moments out of your time to kind of just catch up with the LeMoyne community and reconnect. So thanks again for the time.
Absolutely. It's great to be back.
So you got word this summer, you know, you're going to go into the Gold Wave Hall of Fame. I don't think anybody would be surprised, particularly folks in your circle, in the basketball circle. But I think probably one thing that piqued their interest is when the photos of your playing days on the lacrosse field popped up, and maybe people were like pretty impressed that that, you know, while they're not shocked that it was a Hall of Fame nomination or candidacy, but it was tied to lacrosse. So, you know, what were some of the, you know, the responses and the interest and the notes you were exchanging with some of your folks, particularly all on the West Coast?
It's interesting. My 10-year-old plays lacrosse, and living in Portland now, Randy Powell made a big push, you know, in the Pacific Northwest to build lacrosse up there. So there's a great infrastructure for lacrosse in the Northwest. They've got a great grassroots program. So there's a lot more guys up there, you know, especially guys who work at Nike that played college lacrosse. And there's certainly a camaraderie up there with the dads now who are trying to get their kids more involved, just knowing what kind of life skills lacrosse teaches, you know, relative to some of the other sports. And, you know, like I said, you can't understate the camaraderie. The guys that are my best friends are the same guys that are going to be in a cart with me today at the DAA event. We were best friends back then playing lacrosse together, and we're best friends today.
You know, talk about those days. You know, really the team really, the program really built in those late 80s. You know, you took the, you know, you and your fellow students, your student athletes took the team from a club sport all the way up to varsity within really a short period of time, which is really outstanding and astonishing in many cases. You know, talk about, you know, how you got involved in lacrosse. You know, I knew that you had played basketball growing up, and you know, you got to LeMoyne and you started grabbing a lacrosse stick. Tell folks how that kind of came about.
Well, we got to give Tom Deal a lot of credit. This is a guy that had vision. You know, he was really passionate about it. You know, he had played at Syracuse and was trying to build a program, and, you know, basically had enough guys, I think, that had played some high school lacrosse, you know, upstate New York guys, to kind of get the nascent stages of it going. But, you know, what he decided to do was to go recruit athletes. And there were a lot of guys on campus, you know, that had been high school athletes in different sports, whether it be football, baseball, basketball. You know, I'd played basketball and baseball all the way through, and, you know, probably, you know, had planned on playing basketball in college, and then ended up at LeMoyne. And, you know, John Beilein's program was, you know, kind of more scholarship-oriented. I didn't feel like trying out for a D2, and if I was going to go back and play again, I would have left and gone back and probably played D1 back closer to home. So, you know, I was just hanging around on campus, didn't know a lot of people, and was, you know, doing some intramural stuff and playing in the open runs with the basketball team. And Tom Deal came up to me one day and said, you know, hey, you're failing my PE class. And I said, I'm not in a PE class. I never had to take PE in my life. So he said, well, no, you are. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he said, but I'm building a lacrosse program. And if you come out and try out for the lacrosse team, we'll make that your PE and I'll pass you. So myself and Mike Cameron and, you know, Pete Marino and a bunch of other guys that had never seen a lacrosse stick before ended up in the gym, you know, 10 o'clock at night playing box lacrosse with a taped up tennis ball and running around, didn't know what the hell we were doing. And, you know, got a lot of guidance and mentorship from guys like Jeff Gilhenny and Bob Sterling and, you know, Rob Didio and guys that had been good players in the area, and, you know, my closest friends, JF Gullo and Brian Harrington, that had played at Bishop Kearney. So, you know, it was a really interesting thing that Tom did, because he took a much longer lens to it in terms of building the program, that, you know, he needed to have enough guys on campus that were committed to it, that were athletic enough to, once they learned the sport, it would translate into wins and losses on the field. But it wasn't going to happen overnight. You know, he didn't go out and immediately try to recruit 30 to 35 NCAA caliber players. He just, you know, built within the guys that were in the student body that wanted to be a part of a team, that were used to being a part of a team, that wanted that commonality of purpose and that, you know, competitive spirit, but finding a new vehicle for it, you know, where it wasn't as strict as trying out or making the baseball or basketball team. And, you know, when you look back 30 years, you know, 35 years later, and you've got the preeminent Division II team in the nation, And a lot of it was because of what that founding father group did. And we had some ups and downs. And, you know, there were some guys on campus that weren't exactly fans of the lacrosse program at that point. But, you know, we lived through it. And, you know, and that, here we are today playing for national championships almost every season.
You know, I think it's interesting when you say how that team was built. And obviously in your role now with the Trailblazers in the NBA, you and your colleagues are tasked with trying to build that team. You know, and it's not just, you know, let's go grab 12 of the best athletes we can and put them on the floor and see how it works. But you're talking about culture and, you know, and character and all the different characteristics that you've identified as invaluable to kind of put together a championship, a high caliber program. What are some of the things that your group looks at? You know, how does it maybe translate to your early days and some of the experiences you had as that program started that translate into your efforts kind of with the Trailblazers?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of the guiding principles that I probably subconsciously learned playing lacrosse at Lemoyne and being a part of the program, you know, and practicing in snow-filled parking lots with orange balls so we could find them in the snowbanks because we didn't have gym time, you know, really do translate back to, you know, building a small market basketball team. You know, it's difficult sometimes in non-destination free agent markets. How do you build a program? Like you said, you can't just go out and give out a bunch of scholarships the way you can at the Division I level and, you know, immediately turn a program around. So, you know, we look for talent, chemistry, and character. And I think a lot of those are very similar to what we, you know, what Tom Deal did with the program at Lemoyne. I mean, you know, he found guys who were talented athletes that maybe had played other sports, got them a lacrosse stick and, you know, and retrained them. And you know, we had a bunch of really good guys. I mean, I think a lot of the guys from that group have gone on to successes in their professional lives, their personal lives. But we were also friends first. And I think it was really interesting that you had this group of guys that wanted to spend time together anyway. And then we found a vehicle through the lacrosse program where it gave us a competitive outlet, but it was guys that you were around day in, day out. We roomed together. We ate dinner together in the cafeteria. We played intramurals together. We played pickup hoop down at the practice facility. John Dobbert and I probably spent more time playing hoop against Walter Hill and Paul Galvin than we did out on the lacrosse field those first few years. But, you know, it was those principles that really built it, and it built the foundation knowing that there are no quick fixes. And I think the lacrosse program at Lemoyne, you know, kind of proves that out as well, that you start from the grassroots level. You know, you build the infrastructure, you make it a desirable place and a desirable platform for people to express their competitive instincts. And we've tried to do that in Portland, too. I think really important that we draft well there. You know, our coaches do a great job with player development. Our owner is great about player retention. And then, you know, then we look for opportunistic trades and we try and, you know, win in the margins in free agency here and there and hope to at some point go big game hunting. But I think you've got to establish a culture that other players want to be a part of, regardless of geographical location or nightlife or any of the other extenuating circumstances other teams can promote. What we try to promote is we've got a great basketball culture. We win every year. We're in the playoffs every year. And if you come here, you're going to be treated well. And, you know, one of the things that I think I did learn, you know, when we were kind of down on the tier in terms of priority within the athletic department, when we first started out behind baseball, behind basketball, was every decision we make in Portland, we ask ourselves, how does this affect our players' ability to win at the highest level? And it doesn't matter if you're a secretary in the business division, president of basketball, across the board, the first question you ask yourself when you work for our organization is, how does the decision I'm going to make affect our 15 players?
Yeah, I think that's really on point, and I think it kind of translates well to our Inside the L program, where we'd really try to take the Jesuit values and infuse them into an athletic experience that, you know, often we only have our student athletes with us for a short period of time. You know, 4 years, it goes quick. 4 years, I think, really goes in about 2 years. That's how fast it goes. You know, but we do the same thing in terms of working with them individually, having them strive for excellence and trying to leverage all the different experiences they can have at Lemoyne to grow personally.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, you talk about the core values, and I do think it translates. You know, we have great leadership, guys like Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and who they are as people impact our organization and the quality of our organization, our culture, as much as it is as players. And, you know, Matt Bass and I were talking about it last night about, you know, the grade point average of student athletes relative to the rest of campus. And, you know, and I would venture to say I would bet during my 4 years playing at Lemoyne, I know my grade point average was always better in the spring than it was in the fall. And, you know, it just, there's an inertia to it. You know, you're playing, you're practicing, you're traveling, you have games. you know, you're striving for excellence on the field, and it does translate to things you may be a little bit more apathetic about, though you shouldn't be, in terms of in the classroom. And I think you find you have a responsibility on campus because you have a greater presence on campus than, you know, someone who's just a member of the general student body, and other students look to you from a leadership standpoint. And there's an incumbent responsibility then to perform in other areas, whether it's social service, in the classroom, and just being a part of a greater Jesuit community on campus than just being a student and an athlete.
And it's certainly something you look at, you know, as you talked about free agency, draft picks, and in terms of obviously evaluating their ability to perform on the court, but as they join your organization, as they join your family, you know, making sure that they're a really good fit.
Well, and I think when you look at our history, it's interesting. You know, Lemoyne, small school, upstate New York, right? You know, you're right down the road from SU, and, you know, you're trying to compete athletically and academically. And I think, you know, not dissimilar, it may be why I gravitate at times to players like Damian Lillard, who's under-recruited, goes to Weber State, right, and ends up being a first-team All-NBA player, and C.J. McCollum, who's a future All-Star, who went to Lehigh, which is not a dissimilar school from Lemoyne in terms of student body, academic approach, right? And he spends 4 years at Lehigh, and, you know, the kind of kid that could have gone to Lehigh as a student if he wasn't a basketball player. So, you know, I think I gravitate to those guys knowing the environment they come from is going to immediately translate into a market like Portland, and it's the kind of leadership and, you know, basically the kind of overachieving, you know, chip on your shoulder attitude that you have when you play at a smaller school that will serve you well against guys from the blue blood programs when they get into the NBA.
You know, looking back, maybe reflecting a little bit, you know, when you left Lemoyne and you graduated Lemoyne and you moved forward, you had a really kind of interesting pathway to get to your position with the Trailblazers. And people might think of it as there's only 30 of these jobs in the world, and it's incredibly prestigious, and so congratulations on that. But, you know, tell folks how you left the Heights, ventured all the way across the country in a number of different ways, and kind of made your way back up to Portland.
It's probably a unique, you know, path. I think the difference was not unlike, you know, the way the lacrosse program started at Lemoyne. I didn't set out to be an NBA general manager or a president of basketball operations or a coach. When I spent my time at Lemoyne, it was really hard for me to leave. You know, guys give us grief because the year we graduated, Mike Cameron and I were working for his dad up in Rochester, and we got the bright idea because we had a year of eligibility left because the first year was club, that we were going to work for his dad and commute to practice, and we were going to play one more year. I mean, that's how hard it was for us to give up being a part of the program and being a part of Lemoyne. And, you know, we kind of saw where the program was going, and we were probably 1 year away from, you know, kind of being a part of the peak with that group that we played with. But I think, you know, all I wanted to do when I was at Lemoyne, I felt special being a part of the lacrosse program. The people I shared my time with, you know, the image that it had on campus, competing, you know, day in and day out, and really feel like you were a part of something bigger than yourself. And I think that's all I was looking for was, you know, my first love was basketball. You know, I took some time to play lacrosse, but basketball was always a part of my life. And I really wanted to just be a part of the camaraderie and competition and the kinship that comes with being a part of a team. And I found that outlet at Artesia High School, you know, as a volunteer. And there was no end game involved. It was just I loved waking up every day and being a part of a basketball program that was competing at a high level, coaching. And like I said, you know, that led me to, you know, running into mentors of mine, guys like, you know, Tim Gergovich and Sonny Vaccaro, and I eventually met Mike Dunleavy. But it was years and years. You know, I didn't get into the NBA till I was 38 years old. So it was a lot of commutes back and forth to high school practices and driving vans to Vegas for AAU tournaments and open up gyms at 6 in the morning for Coach Gerg to work guys out. But, you know, that whole time, I was never worried about the next step. I just enjoyed what I was doing, and it was not dissimilar to the time at Lemoyne. I think if we had set out day one to build the best Division II lacrosse program in the country, we would have failed. Because I don't think we were ready emotionally or psychologically, and certainly not physically, to take something that big on at that point. You know, we were still playing on that old cow pasture field out in the back of, you know, the athletic center, you know, and you know, ground balls, you couldn't pick one up because it was bouncing in gopher holes. So I think it would have been delusional, and I think it would have set a bar too high. So, like I said, I just wanted to be involved in the game of basketball. I loved it. I loved coaching. I loved being a part of it. And I think there were people in my life, Mike Dunleavy, Tim Gergovich, Sonny Vaccaro, Warren Legarry, that recognized that passion and realized when you have that kind of passion and if you do have some affinity for something, they can craft what they want from you and give you an opportunity. So, you know, I think this going through all of that for those 16, 17 years as an assistant coach, working for the sports agency with Arn, put me in a unique position when I did get the opportunity at 38 that it wasn't taken for granted. And again, I keep hearkening back to my time at Lemoyne that, you know, a lot of us, myself and John Dobberton and Mike Cameron and, you know, Pete Marino and Kevin O'Connor, guys that were starters and impact players on that 1987 lacrosse team that was the first real winning program that we had at the NCAA Division III level, were guys that were given a second chance, right? They were guys that had been really good basketball players that, for whatever reason, you know, they weren't playing college hoop or football or baseball. And so given that new life and finding this new sport and this subculture that existed as being a lacrosse player, which gave it a cachet, we didn't take that for granted the way we would have if we would have just continued, if I had just gone and played low D1 basketball like John Dobberton, you know, he and I, you know, that was kind of our path, or Pete Marino with football, or, you know, some of the other guys were baseball players that shifted gears. So I think we value that experience even more because it was a gift. You know, we showed up on campus. I don't think any of us were expecting to be a part of a varsity program for 4 years. And to be able to get that experience after we kind of wrote it off after high school, you know, it's something none of us take for granted.
Yeah, I think you mentioned a couple of things that, you know, we really kind of drive home with our student-athletes and our coaches is, one, you know, having the appreciation for the moment. And the journey is the prize, is the journey. You know, so, you know, don't get so locked in on saying, hey, this is where it all has to end. It's never going to end. It's always the journey. So enjoy the journey as you go through it. And the experience is kind of the prize, is the reward. So I know you get to spend some time, you know, back here in Syracuse and in the community. I know you brought your family with you. You know, what are some of the things that they're going to be doing and what you're going to kind of show off, you know, whether it's your, whether it's some of your memories, whether it's stories that maybe get embellished a little bit with some of your fellow classmates.
Well, John Dobberton scouts for us, you know, in Portland. And, so he's out every year. He's godfather to my, you know, my younger son. So they've heard enough stories about, you know, how every year we get better. You know, every year suddenly we're better players, we're better students, better people. So I think they've heard that ad nauseum. But, you know, they're really excited. We drove through campus last night, and it was a beautiful sunny night. You know, the soccer team was out there practicing. And, you know, it's remarkable what the athletic department has done in terms of fields and the lacrosse stadium and the new science building and the performing arts center. And I mean, it's really amazing what the campus looks like. I mean, when we were here, it was 5 dormitories and an academic building and, you know, a gym that was basically like a high school gym. And, you know, and it still produced, you know, great baseball programs. And John Beilein did a phenomenal job with the basketball program. So the fact that the infrastructure is so improved just makes the general campus so much more impressive. So they went through that last night, and they're actually leaving today. They're going to go out to Seneca Falls, and they're going to go to the Harriet Tubman House and tour that. There's always got to be, with my wife and my sister-in-law's in town, who's a, you know, professor at Fordham, there's got to be an academic component to everything. So after swimming in John Dobberton's pool this morning, they're going to get dragged out to go do a research trip on the Harriet Tubman House. And, you know, after the ceremony tomorrow, really important, the biggest part of the trip with John and Matt and JF Gullow is making sure we get to Swallows, you know, for some chicken wings in the Syracuse game.
Yeah,
so
when in Rome. Yeah,
that'll be the highlight of the trip. will be the wings at Swallows tomorrow night at around 5:00.
Yeah, I'm certain. My wife is a middle school teacher, so I'm very astute of all the different historical elements and have seen quite a bit of them. So I know that they're outstanding. But
the one thing I know you won't see, we've all made a pact that none of us feel like blowing out an Achilles, so neither John or JF or myself will make an appearance at the alumni game other than standing on the sideline watching.
Yeah, I've seen a few go down over the years, so I think you're making the wise choice. A few of my classmates kind of gave me a turned head. I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, oh, I got hurt. Well, but, you know, again, congratulations on the honor. Welcome back to campus. It's fantastic having you back and your family. We're glad you're able to join us this weekend and spend some time with, you know, not only us here, your fellow classmates, but our student athletes and everyone on campus. I'm sure they're eager to continue conversations with you. So I know your season starts up very soon. You know, you just kind of transitioned off the summer league, so I know you'll have your eyes and ears focused quite a bit as the NBA kind of kicks in due time. So thanks again for the time today. Best of luck on the course, and thanks again.
Appreciate it. It's a special time for us. Thanks.
All right.